My name is Mr. 2020, and I want to welcome you today to Making Friends with Fear. Because, well, as a child, I'm going to share something very personal with you. I imagined that there was a monster in the closet, and sometimes that monster would even hide under my bed. And even though it was an imaginary monster, it would scare me stiff. And sometimes I would even wet the bed. You see, fear is a primal emotion. It's rooted in the history of humanity. It's based in your biology. Maybe you've noticed that the older most people get, the less likely they are to feed their dreams and go after their desires. And the more likely they are to talk endlessly about what they fear. So the question is, why does fear tend to win over desire in so many people? Why does it hold us back in such a powerful way? Think of it this way. Skipping dinner, something you desire, something that fulfills you, something that nurtures you. Well, skipping dinner means you miss a meal. And most of us could probably miss a meal or two without a problem. However, skipping being made dinner, something that you fear, means that you get to live. You see, back in the old days, we hunted for our food. If you look at the history of humanity, if you look at the world of nature, where our biology comes from, you know, skipping dinner means that you miss a meal. Skipping being dinner means that you get to live. And so today, whenever you hunt for dinner, whenever you go for your dreams, your desires, inside of you, you still have this biological mechanism that generates fear and keeps fear active at first in the background. In this program, you're going to learn how to make friends with your fear. You're going to learn how to end the death grip of anxiety and worry in your life. Because here's the problem. You're never going to get rich or meet the man or woman of your dreams, or fully experience the life that you want, as long as this ancient biological program runs and also ruins your life. So, here's the good news. We have found a number of ways to use the teachings of Neville Goddard and to use the science of neurolinguistic programming to put an end to that death grip. We've found ways to put this all into perspective. Because in today's society, and more importantly in your life, skipping what you desire to do with your life, day in and day out, means that you never get to live your life. You never get to live the life of your dreams. You never get to be as happy, healthy, or as wealthy as you would like to be. If we take it a step further, fear not only robs you of your dreams and your desires, you know, you become that little old man or that little old lady who's always on the lookout for something to be afraid of. That happens even when you're in your 40s or your 30s, sometimes even in your 20s or your teens. Fear not only robs you of these dreams and desires, but it also creates real physical stress in your body. It creates real stress in your life. And that stress in and of itself reduces your health, it slows down your healing, and it gets in the way of your relationships. So what we're going to do is we're going to cover in this series of recordings how to make friends with fear. So the first step, okay, we're going to give you 7 steps right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Actually 6. We combine 2 of them. The first one is what we call freeze frame fear. Now, we want you to remember something before we share with you techniques. When we talk about techniques and methods, remember it's like a hammer. A technique or a method is like a hammer. And it's through experience that you learn to use it properly. But remember, you are the operant power. You get to use the tool. You get to realize that you're bigger than any fear. So the power isn't in the tool. The tool is something that the power, which is you, uses. And so if you keep that in perspective, you're going to discover something really cool about fear, because fear has been nothing more than a tool in your life. Fear has been a tool to keep you alive. The fear mechanism, again, it's designed. I mean, if you desire dinner, but you fear being made dinner, back in the old days, that kept you alive. It kept you alert so you could avoid being dinner. But we don't live in that culture. We don't live in that world anymore. So fear, in and of itself, was a tool to ensure your physical survival. But since you don't really need the tool the way it was originally designed anymore, we're going to give you some new tools. So the first thing is what we call freeze frame fear. And one of the things that we've noticed over the years of doing coaching for a couple of decades now is that oftentimes people make movies of stuff they're afraid of. And the movie basically is seen through their own eyes, and it's real. Okay? It's absolutely real. Okay? It's not a movie of two people. It's a movie of someone doing something to you, for example. And so what we want to do, or it's a movie of a spider jumping on your hand, okay, where you just see your hand and you see the spider jumping on it. You don't see a movie that includes your whole body from a distance, like 20 feet away, with a spider jumping on it and seeing your body jump away. Okay, if you're actually experiencing fear, you're seeing through your own eyes. You're coming from that state of fear. And so what we want you to do is a couple things. One, we want you to first see your body. Okay, we're going to do the exact reverse of manifesting. We call this unmanifesting. So in freeze frame fear, we're unmanifesting. In other words, what we want you to do is to create distance. And to do that, instead of seeing your hand, like right now I hold my hand right out in front of me, do the same thing. Hold your left hand out and look at it. Now, if you're afraid of spiders, you could imagine a spider jumping on that hand, right? Now, what I want you to do instead is to pretend there's a movie camera about 20 feet away looking at you right now, looking at your body. And this movie camera is looking at your body, and we want you to see, you know, the movie of you, your body, sitting there. And just when there's a spider about ready to jump on it, stop and freeze frame it. Just take a snapshot from it. And so now you have a snapshot. There's your body. You can see on your body is a hand. Now again, you're seeing this from a distance, about 20 feet away. Make a still image of it, a still photo, and move it around a little bit. You can make it closer and see if that brings the feelings up. You can make it further away, smaller. You can change it from color into black and white. Make it a little bit grainy, like an old photo. Crumble it up and throw it away. Hear it drop, tunk, into the wastebasket or the garbage bin. Now, if you do this little tool, remember, you're the operant power that can use this tool. It's going to freeze a frame and give you the opportunity to, again, you know, you go from just seeing your hand to seeing your body. You see your whole body and stop. Before it continues, just get in the habit of stop. Now you have a still photo. Move it around a little bit. You know, you can move it up, down, left, right, further away. Just notice whatever makes it feel less real. Again, if manifesting is feeling it real, unmanifesting is feeling it less real. Make it smaller, black and white. Make it grainy or pixelated a little bit. Crumble it up and throw it, tunk, and hear it drop into the wastebasket or garbage bin. It can go away now. That's technique number one. Technique number two, method number two, the next tool that you get to use, is remembering when. Remember when you had a fear of spiders, or whatever it is you've got a fear of. By the way, we're going to be covering anxiety and worry as well, because fear is something specific, where you have a fear of spiders, for example. And what we want you to do is to remember when you had that fear, and remember how one day you had a shift, a giggle, and a realization. Because in reality, no one's afraid of spiders. There's four core fears that we've discovered. And those pretty much include injury or death, embarrassment, and rejection. You see, if you're afraid of spiders, okay, and when you have the realization and you have a giggle, there's always a giggle that comes when you realize the truth about what you've been afraid of. You could be afraid of an injury from a spider, or dying from a spider bite. Yeah, you don't die, but that's another story. You could be embarrassed because, I react so much to spiders. You know, you'd just be embarrassing. Or you could be afraid that your friends will reject you. Oh, yeah, George, he's afraid of spiders. We don't want to hang out with him. Those tend to be the universal fears. And when you remember when you had them, remember when you had a fear of spiders, and then you realized it really wasn't a fear of spiders. It was a fear of injury, death, argument, embarrassment, rejection, confrontation. You know, those are pretty much the way it all works. As soon as you realize that, you can have a giggle and a realization, because when you realize that it really wasn't spiders you were afraid of, it was death, or embarrassment, or rejection, or argument. People saying, you shouldn't be afraid of spiders, so I'm afraid of people arguing with me if they find out I'm afraid of spiders. When you realize what you're really afraid of, you can remember when you were afraid of that, afraid of being embarrassed, afraid of being rejected, afraid of death. We don't die. Tons of evidence around that. An injury? Well, you know, let's move to the next tool. Respecting. It's okay to be aware of spiders, real spiders, and the real potential of spiders. You know, I was with a friend in Texas one day, years and years ago, and they were taking photos of tarantulas outside of the car. So she got out, she went back, took a photo, and backed up a little bit to get back in the car, and she noticed the tarantula was chasing after her. And she had a giggle about it, because we had a talk earlier about the real potential of spiders and how even though the tarantula was chasing her, it really wasn't going to harm her. It might jump on her and scare her a little bit. But, yeah, what she really was embarrassed about was, well, rejection, embarrassment, some stuff around that. But it's okay to be aware of spiders. I want you to be aware of this because, you know, I've talked to people and they say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to be flat broke and homeless. Well, you know what? That's probably something to be aware of, that it's possible to become homeless. Yeah, been there, done that. It's possible to be flat broke. Been there, done that. But it's not the end of the world, because remember, you are the operant power. You can use these tools, you can use any of these tools to rewrite your life at any time, to rise up from the ashes, to become who you truly are. Now, let's reduce to the ridiculous obvious, or the obvious ridiculous. This is the next tool. So if the average person knows someone personally who gets bitten by a spider once every 40 years, again, I'm 47, I know one person who's been bitten by a spider. So I can say pretty authoritatively in my life, I know someone who got bit by a spider, yeah, nasty bite, happened once in, you know, it was in my mid-40s that happened. So I'm saying once every 40 years. Now, the average person knows about 200 people. Statistics show, life insurance statistics show, that when you die, about 200 people are going to come to your funeral. So there are going to be about 200 people that you know well enough. They're going to think, yep, let's go to the funeral. So let's do the math. If you personally know someone who gets bitten by a spider once every 40 years, and you know 200 people, so you multiply 200 people times 40 years, okay, that's one spider bite for every 8,000 years. Now, if you live to be about 80 years old, okay, yeah, that's about one spider bite for every 100 lifetimes. So, yeah, maybe you got bitten by a spider 99 lifetimes ago, and it's time for you to do it again. Again, you can do the math. You can have some fun with this. By the way, there's some really, really cool stuff. If you're going to reduce to the obvious ridiculous, there's three brains in the mind. Paul MacLean did some really, really cool research where he studied that there were three brains inside the human brain, essentially. There's what we call the lizard, the monkey, and the human mind, right? Now, the lizard mind is the one that sits right on top of the brain stem. That's the one that's concerned with fornication and food. Basically wants to, the lizard brain, the one that sits right at the top of the brainstem, it wants you to go make love to something or have something pleasantly make love to you so you can have babies, keep the species going. And the lizard brain is also in charge of food. In other words, it wants to make sure that you eat and don't get eaten. And that's where a lot of this comes from. The second brain that sort of wraps around it is the midbrain or the monkey brain. The midbrain, the middle brain, the monkey brain is primarily concerned with social stuff. So we don't want to be embarrassed in front of the tribe. We don't want to be rejected by the tribe or whatever. And so, you know, literally, it's that monkey brain that gets us all wrapped up in that bit. But there's a third, more powerful brain, the neocortex, the most recent addition to, you know, the brain, you know, as far as development goes. And it's that brain that thinks in terms of concepts. It's that brain that thinks in terms of systems and of symbology. And so when we're working with these tools, one of the things that we get to notice is we're moving from the lizard to the mammalian. By the way, knowing that you're not alone with your fear of whatever the heck it is, and knowing that other people have gotten over it using these tools, that invites you to use that mammal brain in a way to help you. Using these tools, okay, brings you up to that neocortex, the human brain. So basically, you get to sort of do the math. You get to respect spiders. You get to actually decide, you know what, I'm going to use remember when I had a fear of spiders, and one day I had the shift. There was a giggle and a realization. I really wasn't afraid of spiders. I was afraid of embarrassment. And then I remembered when I was afraid of embarrassment. So I sort of chunked it around a little bit. We call that chunking around, getting to what you're really afraid of. And again, it's none of that's real anyway. So let's talk about revision, the next one. With revision, what we want you to do, this is really, really cool stuff. So when most people do revision, they make a mistake. And the mistake most people make is this. They do a total rewrite. In other words, you know, I didn't see the spider. The spider thing never existed. It didn't happen. Okay? That's called having an aversion. And an aversion is nothing more than a different way of rewiring fear into you. So what we want you to do, instead of doing a total rewrite, okay, I used to be afraid of girls. I used to be afraid to talk to anyone. So back when I was much, much, much younger, I'd start revising my day. I didn't know what was called revising my day back then. But I'd have the trigger show up. Basically, the trigger was, you know, I'll tell you one of them. One of them was two or three girls sitting there talking, and they'd look over at me and giggle. And immediately I'd go, oh, they're talking about me. They must be making fun of me. Okay, I realized one day I was making all that crap up. And so I started revising it. The girls have a giggle, I smile, they smile back. I notice one of them fidgeting a little bit and looking over and smiling nice. I'd start revising. You see, I'd revise involving having the trigger show up and having the trigger get pulled. Now here's the key, and I left out this tiny little detail because I want you to get how important this is. So the girls giggle, right? Okay, here I am, young boy, probably about 10, 11 years old. And I look over at the girls, and the girls do what? They giggle, right? And so the girls have a giggle, and I go inside and go, oh, okay. And so that's the trigger. The girls giggle is the trigger. So I still have them giggle. So I go inside and say, You see, the tone makes a huge difference. We're going to be covering some really cool stuff about that. So you want to be able to, when you revise, okay, imagine a different response. And the different response is just not with what people can see. The different response is how you feel. Remember, feeling is the secret. And so when the girls giggle, okay, now by the way, you see, I screwed up right there. I kept saying when the giggles girl. I had it backwards in my head. And I could make a sound in my head. Oh my God, what are they going to think? Or I can go, okay, I can use this as a opportunity to demonstrate it. And it's not the words. It's the, okay, I can use this as an opportunity to demonstrate it. Notice the tonality. We're going to be covering a very special tool when it comes to this stuff. So have that trigger show up and get pulled. Imagine a different response, and the different response begins inside of you. It's not just with what people see, it begins with inside of you. What are you imagining differently? How is your breath differently? Because when the girls would giggle and I'd hold my breath, it's different than giggling and pausing and just going, which one likes me? Very different. And it's not just the words, it's the tone. We're going to be covering some of that and some really cool stuff in a bit. Revealing the truth. That's the next tool, revealing the truth. Now, revealing the truth, this is a shift in perspective because you don't manifest what you speak about. You manifest what you feel about. Now, if you feel something and then speak about it from that state, you are manifesting. However, if you speak about something that you've feared distantly, okay, remember, I used to wet the bed. Okay, I'm not afraid of wetting the bed again. I used to be afraid of the monsters under the bed. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not going, oh, well, what are these monsters under the bed? I'm not feeling the monsters. I'm not feeling the bed wetter. You get it? You don't manifest what you speak about. You manifest what you feel about. So if I can share a story with you from the level of love, okay, this is what my life was like as a little boy. I'd wet the bed because I feared the monster under the bed. And I would wet the bed because I feared the monster in the closet. It's the tonality, revealing the emotion, revealing the feeling. You don't manifest what you speak about. You manifest what you feel about. And again, if you feel something and speak about it from that state, you're manifesting. When I talk about being an amazing teacher, okay, I'm coming from the state of amazing teacher. I'm not just saying, well, I'm an amazing teacher. No, I am an amazing teacher. I study teaching. I study learning. I study communication. And I respond to people's questions. And I probe and I poke and I figure out what's the best way to approach this so that I can teach it to other people. And when I'm teaching it to other people, I notice some people learn more visually, some more auditorily, some kinesthetically. And so we find ways of getting that into the trainings. So remember, if you speak about something that you feared distantly, as if it's in the past, yeah, I feared the monster. And if you come from the level of logic, the level of logic is pretty cool. The level of logic is not, there are no monsters. That's almost argumentative. People fear arguments. That's one of the four primal fears. You know, injury or death, argument, being booted out of the tribe, or being embarrassed. Right? So the level of logic is noticing how do I generate a fear of monsters? Well, I sit here in the dark and I remember that movie that mom and dad had on earlier and I start making images from it and I see movie images in my head and then I start saying there might be a monster in the closet. And so I notice I'm making a movie, I'm making commentary. The level of logic has us notice how are we doing it? Logically, what are the steps that we're going through? Because if I was going to teach someone to have a fear of monsters, that's what I would do. I'd tell them, watch a lot of horror movies, go to bed, look around your dark room, and you know that since you can't see everything, that there must be monsters out there, and say to yourself, there must be monsters out there. And yeah, do it from a different tonality than I'm using. And suddenly you're going to start believing in monsters. That's what we do, right? So the key is, what we're doing is we're using a needle to remove a splinter. A splinter is a tiny little thing. It got under your skin, okay? And we're using a needle, a tool, that's very similar in appearance on one level to remove it. And the key is, again, noticing the truth. You don't manifest what you speak about. You manifest what you feel about. And if you feel about it and embody it by speaking about it, you're manifesting. But on the other hand, if we're embodying this little giggle, this little bit of love, this little bit of distance, remembering it. You know what? I ask people, are you afraid of spiders right now? Well, no. Yeah, but we're talking about it. I actually have people tell me that. Are you afraid of girls right now? Well, no, there's none in the room. I said, great. So that's in your past. Since it's in your past, we can notice, how do you do that? How do you make yourself afraid of girls? Well, yeah, I notice they giggle, and then I say, oh, they're giggling about me. Yeah, you know, oh, how do you know they're giggling about you? Are you a mind reader? Are you a psychic? Maybe I should be paying you for this, right? Will you read my mind? Tell me what I'm thinking. Obviously, they can't. And then suddenly, we've approached things logically, not argumentatively, but logically. And we've done it with the spirit of love. By the way, check out the charts at neuromanifesting.com, and you'll see exactly what we've done right here. We've gone from that level of fear, which is right in the middle where everything's cramped and tight, of that chart. We've come up and we've worked at the level of the mind, the level of logic, and explored some things, helped them get a little bit willing to let go of, yeah, I'm not a mind reader, and accept, you know what, if the average person gets bitten by it, well, if I personally know someone who's been bitten by a spider once every 40 years, and the average person is 200 people, and I do the math, oh, heck, that's once every 100 lifetimes. But it's all done from the level of love. So those are the basic steps right there, the six steps for eliminating, making friends with your fear. We're going to cover a couple more things in the next recording, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the anxiety eliminator, bonus recording. That's pretty darn cool. And Toning up. You know, let's toss that in now, because this is really, really important. Your voice tone drives emotions. I want you to think of two words. Ready? Those words are come and here, right? So we can say come here in a flirty way. Come here. We can say it factly. Come here. We can say it frustrated. Come here. We can beg. Come here. We can be the bossy one. Come here. We could be confused. Come here. We could be loving. Come here. You see, it's not the words that matter. It's the tonality. And the tonality reveals the emotions. And tonality is so close to emotions that we can use it to change state, to change emotion, and bring things together in a way that's really, really cool. So that's it for this recording. We'll be back in just a bit with more. And print out. Okay, the printout. Mark that up. Go to metamanifesting.com. Print out the chart there, because that chart, even if you're not in the program, is going to give you a lot of feedback, or actually a lot of perspective as to what we're doing here. You can just look at the chart and notice how we're moving through stuff. And if you want more, get metamanifesting as well. That we go into this stuff in some very cool ways. So my name is Mr. 2020, and we will be back in just a moment.